The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible, and that was good. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 134. Look at verse 1 again. The Bible says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." Look at verse 2. It says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Look at verse 3. The Bible says, "The Lord made heaven and earth." It says, "Bless ye out of Zion." Now, we understand this, that God has been very good to us. You being an American citizen, living in the land of the free, the home of the brave, you having the opportunity to be in the place where we have many freedoms, to be able to hear the Word of God, proclaim the Word of God, live by conviction based on the Word of God, God has been good to you. God has been good to me. If you ever begin to doubt how good God is, I would encourage you to be able to come with me and to travel to some of the countries, or with one of our teams, to some of the other countries of the world, and you will soon realize how blessed you have it here, being in the United States of America. We understand this, that God has blessed us over and over and over again. But yet, the Bible talks here in this particular psalm about how we can be a blessing to God. You know, now think about this around Christmas time, if you will. Think about how good your mom and how good your dad has been to you. You know, think about all the blessings that God has given you because of a mom or because of a dad. Think about all the blessings that God has given you because of people that live in or around your neighborhood. Think about all the blessings that God has bestowed upon you simply because of the fact that you have a son or you have a daughter, you have a grandchild, and you're surrounded by love, you're surrounded by attention, you're surrounded by blessing. But during this time of year, it might be good also to reflect back to God and have a time to be able to be a blessing to God himself. Now, what are some of the things that is pointed out in this particular psalm about being a blessing? I think most of our lives, you know, when I grew up in Maryland, I lived 4 hours from New York City. So many times we would travel up to the city. We called it the city. We'd travel up to New York City. We had friends that lived in New York City. And so many times we would travel up there for fellowship or for something that was an event that was taking place in the city. And if we wanted to go a little bit farther, we would travel up to Boston or whatever to be able to visit Boston area. You know, and then there was times when we went down to Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. was only 3 hours, 3.5 hours from my house. And so oftentimes on a Friday night or on a early Saturday morning, we would go down there and we'd watch the Navy play the Army in football or something like that. And of course, then we would goof around a little bit, then head back home. But those were times when we would travel in some of the bigger cities. I know that in New York, down by Prospect Park, because we used to live in Brooklyn, New York, and we lived right beside Prospect Park. And I know beside Prospect Park, what you call here in Texas roundabouts, we had there. You would get on these roundabouts, but they were really traffic circles. And I know they have them in Japan. I know that they have them in Singapore. I know that they have them in Manila. I know that they have them in different places. Around the world, where you get on this, it's really just a circle, and you get on this particular circle, and the thing is you get in it, and you really just try to get in it, and you try to go with traffic, then you've got to get out of it, because there's streets that bleed off of it, and you have people coming in as you're going out, and really, it's a crazy thing. You know, and I know that very different when you're over in the Philippines, they blow the horn to be friendly. In New York, they blow the horn to say, get out of my way. You know, and so you would hear horns going off all around these, what we would call here in Texas, roundabouts, or what we call their traffic circles. And so you would hear all these horns being blown, or all these horns being honked, if you would please. And it's saying this, it's saying either let me in or let me out. And can I tell you, that's the way most people live their life. They live their life in a continual circle. And they're butting in, or they're driving speedily in to be able to accomplish something for a little while as they travel around that vicious circle. And then they get out of that circle, as quickly as they can to go get something else done. And then they find themselves in another little circle for a while, and they travel around that circle. And before you know it, life passes by. A person in their 20s turns into a person that's in their 30s, 30s to 40s, 40s to 50s, 50s to 60s, 60s to 70s. I was talking to Dr. Shelton Smith the other day, and I called him up. It was his birthday, and he turned 73 years old. And I was talking to him on the phone just a little bit, and 73 years old. But he doesn't look like a 73-year-old man, but 73 years of age. And I thought, you know, wow, life has gone by so very quickly. Just the other day, it was Dr. John O. Rice's birthday. If he was alive today, he'd be 110. Last week was Dr. Tom Malone's birthday. If he'd be alive last week, he'd be 100 years old. 100 years old. Now, life goes by very, very quickly. So how is it and what is it that we should do in our lives to be able to bless God? What is it that we could do? Here are these Psalms, in Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. You know, they call these Psalms the Songs of Degrees. Now, what does that mean? The Songs of Degrees were songs that they would sing on the way to the temple, and then there was 15 steps that would lead up into the temple. So normally, these psalms were sung as they would go up those 15 steps into the temple. Example, on step number one, they would sing Psalm 120. On step number two, they'd sing Psalm 121. On step number three, they'd sing Psalm 122. And they'd sing these psalms all the way up into the temple where they would be able to do service unto God. Now, I want you to notice the layers that this psalm is in. I want you to notice how they would try to bless the Lord, praise the Lord, and how they would do that with these individual psalms. At least we're going to look at this one tonight, and that is Psalm 134. This is the last step before they enter into the temple. Now watch this, if you will. Psalm 134 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord." Okay, so statement number one, who should bless the heart of God? The Bible says that the servants are to bless the heart of God. So you and I, as servants, we should look for ways to be blessings to God. What is it that you could do to bring gladness to the Lord Jesus? What is it that you could do to bring a blessing to the Lord Jesus? What is it that you could do to be able to bring happiness and fulfillment to God? You say, but God doesn't need happiness, and God is complete within himself, and he doesn't need fulfillment. No, I don't think that God is telling us anything that we need to do because he needs it, but I think he's telling us things that we need to do because we need it, and by telling us to do it, it helps us to be more what we should be. All right, so he says, who is supposed to bless the heart of God? Behold, the Bible says, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. Now, by the way, can I tell you this? Can I tell you the greatest blessing you could ever be to God is learn to serve him. Learn to serve him. Learn to put him first in your life, not second in your life, not third in your life. Don't give him fifth and sixth and seventh choice. Don't give him the leftovers. Give him first place. Put him first in your life. That means first in your morning, first in your Bible reading, first in your prayer life, first in your family life, your individual life, your family life, your community life, your service life. All right? And so we ought to put God first in our life. Our children ought to know that God is first in our life. They ought to know that God is first in their life by the way that we act, by the way that we talk, by the way that we walk, by the way that we dress, the things that we do say, the things that we sing, the places that we go. It ought to testify over and over and over and over again, God is first, God is first, God is first, God is first, God is first. And we ought to testify with our lives over and over and over again that God is first. Now, how do we do that? We do that simply by being an individual that decides that we're going to take and be that individual that puts God first by the way that we live our lives. So it's important for us to understand that we ought to live a life in such a way that God has that which is preeminence inside of our lives.
There was a 36-year-old lady, and she had advanced stages of cancer. It was terminal, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Well, I have bad news for you. If you continue without any medication, without anything that would help prolong your life and kill some of those cancer cells, you've only got 2 years. But if you will start to take what I'm telling you to take and go through the program, you would probably live at least 4 years. She went home and she began to think about this, and she read all the side effects. Now, isn't it amazing when you read the side effects of things? The commercials blow me away when I see a commercial. You take this pill, and this pill is good for this, but now beware that it has 125 different side effects. Okay? Now, but this lady went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Well, you've got terminal cancer, and you're at some very advanced stages at this point. And so, if you do nothing, you'll probably make it for 2 years. If you don't do it, if you decide to follow the medical treatment that I'm prescribing to you, you'll probably make it at least 4 years." She decided to sit down, and she had three small children, and she wrote them this: "I've chosen to try to survive as long as I possibly can. It's going to be a horrible cost, including pain, loss of hair, probably loss of a good humor. I'm going to have mood swings that possibly I can't even control. But I want you to know this: I'm trying to live as long as I possibly can, because if there's 1 minute in my day that I'm alive, that you need me, I want to be there in that 1 minute that you need me. So if I can live for 4 more years, possibly, then maybe I can help you through your struggles." Now, she wasn't thinking of her. She was thinking of her children. Now, can I say, listen, sometimes we have to come apart and we have to decide we're not going to think of us. There's got to come a time in our Christian maturity when we decide that we're going to live for the Lord and we're going to live for others. We're going to try and help others along life's pathway. Statement number one: who is should bless God's heart? The children of God. Statement number two: when should we bless the heart of God? Look at Psalm 134. Look at verse 1 again. The Bible says, which it says, by the night. So God says that we're supposed to serve him day and night. But can I tell you, during the night hours, it gets harder. You know, sometimes the staff that sit on this platform will put in 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-hour days. And can I tell you, the longer that you work, the harder it gets. Now, if you're like the Wells family, the longer we work, the more funnier things get. And we'll laugh at stuff that is probably not supposed to be funny. But we'll just start laughing and carrying on and stuff like that. All right, now, wait a minute. That's fine and good. But can I tell you, the longer that you serve, sometimes the body gets weary. Sometimes the body gets tired. You know, I of course, I'm pastor, and I love you, and I love the people that God has allowed us to come into contact with. But, you know, sometimes when people go into the hospital, you know, and I know we can't plan our illnesses, but sometimes I think, you know, I wish they would have went into the hospital at maybe 6:30 instead of 2 a.m., you know, but you'll get up and you'll put your clothes on and you'll go down and you'll try and be with somebody and you'll try and encourage somebody and you'll try and strengthen somebody. Now, can I tell you, listen, when are we supposed to bless the Lord? Well, we're supposed to serve the Lord. We're supposed to bless the Lord even in the night hours, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, even when it seems like that the body is weary. If you don't do that, the devil will take and tempt you not to serve God. Lester Roloff used to say that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And so when you're not concentrating on the right things, automatically your mind will slip towards the negative and the wrong things. You have to concentrate. You have to deliberately make yourself do right. You have to deliberately put that force of effort in there in order to be able to go in the right direction to be able to help. Gypsy Smith was an older preacher at this time, and a man came up to Gypsy Smith that was a traveling evangelist and said, "I don't understand it. You preachers get up and you preachers say all the time that you read the Bible and you get inspired from the Bible. And I want you to know," he said, "I've been a Christian for over 20 years and I've read the Bible thoroughly through, and not one time in reading the Bible has the Bible ever inspired me?" He said, "What do you have to say about that, Mr. Smith?" Mr. Smith thought for just a moment. He said, "Well, let me tell you, next time you go through the Bible, don't read the Bible as much as you allow the Bible," you ready for this, "to read you. To read you." In other words, you allow the Bible to point out problems in your life. Allow the Bible to point out things you need to strengthen in your life. And if you allow the Bible to read you, Gypsy Smith said, "Then come back and I promise you, you'll tell me a different story." All right? And so sometimes, and I know how we are, we live in a society that is point to point. We live in a society that's connecting the dots. We live in a very, we are a very regimented society. A very regimented society. A person in this room can live without joy in Jesus Christ, still serve by character, but not enjoy serving Jesus Christ. Because we live by schedule. We live, now by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, but can I tell you, it's a whole lot better to enjoy what you're doing. It's a whole lot better to decide that you're going to be the one that just doesn't do it, but you have joy in doing it. See, the Bible talks here that they were blessing the Lord. They were calling out to the Lord. They were trying to be a blessing to God. Now, how were they doing this, and when were they doing this? They were even doing this in the night hours. The night hours. Oh, come on. We live in such a negative society that if you're not careful, what you're going to do is you will get down by virtue of the fact that you're thinking of just the negative. How about taking and making a list of all the goodness that God has done for you? Amen. Do you have good health? Write it down. You know, are you married? Do you have children? Write it down. Do you have a job? Write it down. Do you live in a house? Do you live in a place of residence? You got a roof over your head? Write it down. Did you get to eat something this morning, this afternoon, or this evening, or continual? Write it down. Did you enjoy maybe a cup of coffee or a glass of tea? Write it down. Did somebody smile at you today? If not, did you look in the mirror and smile at yourself? Write it down. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that you have to understand that you decide when you're going to bless the Lord. You decide. You can walk around all day if you want to and be thankful. God, I'm thankful that you gave me this. God, I'm thankful. Instead of saying, "I wish I coulda, I wish I woulda, I wish I had it, I wish that was mine, I wish that, I'm just not satisfied with life." Well, let me tell you something. You may never get satisfied with life until you become thankful for the things that you have. Amen. Be thankful for the things that God has placed before you. Be thankful for those things. You know, Christmas time, I'm afraid that we slip into the society that is out there where we want it and we've got to have it. And if we don't get it, we're going to be miserable and we're not going to be happy. Well, can I tell you, it's not about the gift and it's not about the present and it's not about what you're going to get out of it. Why don't you decide that you're going to be a blessing to someone else? Be thankful. If God's given you a friend, be thankful. If your parents are still living, be thankful. I'm saying look for some things, and then even in the night watches, you can thank the Lord and you can bless His holy name for what He has done. When's the last time you laid your head on your pillow and you didn't sit up half the night watching that stupid one-eyed idiot and allowing that to fill your mind with garbage before you went to bed? When's the last time you just went to bed and before you fell asleep at night, you just rested your head on your pillow and you just began to praise God for this and praise God for this and praise God for this and praise God for this? And can I tell you, as a child of God, God has been good to you. Now, I'm saying that who should bless the heart of God? We as children. When should we bless the heart of God? Always, but also at night. Where should we bless the heart of God? Look at it, Psalm 134. You didn't realize you're getting so much out of these verses, did you? Psalm 134, look at it. Psalm 134 in verse 1. The Bible says, stand in the house of the Lord. So where should you bless His name? In the house of the Lord. You know, there's just something, I wish you could get this. There's something about coming to church that is so good. I mean, what else would you be doing tonight? Well, you know, preacher, I'd just be staying home and I'd be getting my beauty sleep. And you know, people would try that. It never works anyway. Well, you know, here's what I would do. I would be living my life the way that I want to live it. Yes, part from God, part from blessing, part from protection. Hey, why not serve God? Why not come to church and why not allow yourself to be in a place? Okay, rapture takes place. Now, for the believer, we understand what that means. Rapture takes place. You know what that means? That means you and I are caught away. Now, at that time, when that rapture takes place, can I tell you, I believe the church houses are going to be jam-packed. People are going to be running to places like this, and they're going to be looking for answers. But hopefully, none of you will be here. I'm not going to be here. And hopefully none of you will be here. Hopefully you and I that are saved, now we will, there's no hope to that, but we will be gone, and I hope that you're one of those. But can I tell you, listen, there's going to be that catching away time, and when that catching away time takes place, you will not have an opportunity in heaven to serve like you're serving on earth. How are you going to go soul winning in heaven? How are you going to do that? Who is there going to be the lead to Christ? How are you going to take up money for a building fund in heaven? Who's going to take it up? Hello? Where are you going to send missionaries to? See, there's certain advantages. Okay, how are you going to fellowship with a new believer and try to teach? You try and sit down and teach somebody the Bible in heaven, they're not going to be interested in listening to you. They're going to have the Lord Jesus Christ. They're probably going to be running up and asking the Apostle Paul some questions. Hello? I'm saying there. Take advantage of it while you have it. You know, there is a world out there, and I don't know if you're realizing what's going on in our society, but our society is hungry. They're hungry. They have questions right now that they can't find the answers to, and they're greatly confused. I'm telling you, if you'll take time to spend time with people, you can help them to come to that which is the full understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you'll simply take time with them, and there's no better place to get involved and to stand up and serve God and be a blessing to the very heart of God than in a church that's going the right direction. He doesn't say sit. He doesn't say walk. He doesn't say warm yourself beside the cozy fire. He doesn't say lay down in a comfortable bed. He doesn't say any of that. What he does say is, listen, simply to serve. When Brother Williams, if I may say, and I don't realize Mrs. Williams is here tonight, but when Brother Williams was getting ready to go home to be with the Lord, my wife went over to be with him. And over, and I don't know if she wants me to tell you this or not, but I think it's going to be okay. I still think I'll be able to go home. But she entered into the bedroom area, and as she entered in with relatives into the bedroom area, she would sing to Brother Williams over and over again some of his favorite hymns. Now, can I tell you, that's a service. That's a service. You look for ways. I told about Charlotta this morning. Rebecca, our daughter's, one of her best friends is Charlotta, Brother Owens' daughter, and found out that her dog had died of cancer, and so Rebecca wanted to do something special for her, and so she went out and she looked, and some church members here helped her to be able to find, I think it was a collie, to be able to buy, and they're very, very expensive dogs, and she was able to pick it up for a couple hundred dollars to be a blessing, to be a blessing. You know, you look for ways to be a blessing to people, especially when people are hurting. You look for ways. You go out of your way to be a blessing to a friend. You go out of your way to meet somebody else's need. You go out of your way. And by the way, and she was very thankful as they were talking on the phone last night after we went out and we picked up the dog. And can I tell you, there's nothing like having a whiny puppy dog in your house. It reminds me of babyhood all over again. You know, I mean, the baby wants to be held. The dog wants to be held. I mean, the baby cries when the baby has needs, and that's the only way of baby being able to communicate. And the dog whines when it has needs, and that's the only way. And you better listen to the whine, and you better do what is right by the whine, like taking the dog out to potty. I mean, they have needs. All right, now what am I saying? I'm saying this. Sometimes you trying to be a blessing to somebody will cost you something. It will cost you something. You'll have to go the extra mile to provide something. You will have to maybe travel a distance to be able to provide something. You'll have to be able to sacrifice of your own funds and of your own time to be able. Come on. I'm talking about the way to serve the Lord is you can serve the Lord by being able to serve others. And there's no better way to serve others than to serve people that are busy serving Jesus Christ in the house of God. Okay, all right, we're going to park here for a while. Don't be in a hurry to go home sometimes. Now, I realize we say, hey, lights out is at 9:30. I realize that. I understand that. I mean, understand it, at 9:30, we kick the lights out. But can I tell you, you can stay around in fellowship for a little while. Don't be in a hurry. Well, you know, I've got to go somewhere. And do what? What are you going to do? Well, I got to go home and sleep. You're not going to sleep. You're going to sit up and eat popcorn. You're going to find the biggest potato chip bag that you can find, and you're going to see if you can put them out of business. You're going to go home and argue. You and your wife were having an argument before you came to church, and you're going to go home and play part two. I'm serious. Look, come to church. Enjoy church, enjoy the preaching, get something out of the preaching, and then when it comes time to go home, don't go home. Fellowship, talk, communicate. Well, I've got to go. I need to go. Why do you need to go? Fellowship and communicate and love and encourage. Be around people. You know, it's the people I hear that complain the most. I don't have any friends that leave the soonest. Well, I just don't have any. Look, if you stand around here long enough, somebody will trip over you. Come on. Look, go out there by the lobby door and just hold your hand out like this. Somebody's going to shake it. Or they're going to give you a high five or something. Somebody's going to shake it. Because it's just there. It's just, by the way, hey, let's practice something in our church. If you're lonely and you think nobody loves you, let's have, you know, on these college campuses now, they have this certain area. What's it called? Come on, you're watching the news. You guys watch news. Safe, what's it called? A safe zone. Thank you, Brother Whistler. A safe zone. Hey, let's have an area in our church that we call a get-to-know-you zone. Let's make it out in the lobby on that side right there. And if ever in our church you feel lonely, you feel depressed, you feel nobody loves you, you feel that nobody cares about you, you feel that you're all by yourself on your little deserted island, and you feel that nobody is going to reach out to you, let's call this a get-to-know-you zone right out here, or friendship zone right out here, or by the let's call it the Christian zone. And let's just make it right out there on the left where you just stand there and just go like this. That's all you gotta do. Just stand there and go like this. Nobody will make fun of you to your face. And just stand out there and put your hand out like this and let people come by. Now don't go like this. Don't go like this. You see the guys, it really blows my mind. It really does. See these guys out there, we'll work for food. Right behind them is a McDonald's sign that says, now hiring. So don't be somebody that does this, but put your hand out and just let somebody come by and shake your hand. I mean, come on, amen. Hey, I'm telling you, there's a way to overcome stuff. There's a way, if you will, not to walk away and get poochie lip disease with your bottom lip sagging between your two big toes and tripping every other step because you can't see where you're going. There is a way tonight for you to be able to serve God and to be able to have fun and serving Jesus Christ and standing in the house of the Lord. Amen. Statement number next. Statement number one. Who should bless the heart of God? You and I. Statement number two, when should we do it? When we're tired also, in the night watches. Where should we do it? In the house of the Lord. How should we do it? Watch this. Look at Psalm 134 and verse 2. The Bible says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now, when somebody lifts up their hands, normally they're empty. It's empty. When they came out of bondage, you remember that? When they came out of bondage, they came out with their hands lifted. It showed that they were not holding on to anything. All right? It showed that they were coming out and they came out with lifted hands. And here we see that when you're in the sanctuary that you can lift the hands. And it shows that you're not selfish. It shows that you're not proud. It shows that you're somebody that's not stuck on me. But you're an individual that's going forward to serve Jesus Christ. You're not full of the possessions that others have that's holding them down. You ought to study it when they came out of bondage, as they were coming out of bondage and following Moses, as they borrowed all those possessions, they would put a rope or like a bag that you would wear with a strap, you know, and you'd have the camping gear back here, sort of like a camping bag or whatever, and they would have these long pole areas like the Indians used to drag around their kills, and they would have these pallets back there, and they would drag, of course, the possessions out with them, but they would have their hands lifted. Now wait a minute. That means that they were praising the Lord. You ever see that in church service? You ever see some of these guys up here? You know, all of a sudden when a song is like in the middle of a song or maybe a message or whatever, you ever see that some of the guys up here and some of the people out in the church congregation will raise their hand and say, praise the Lord? Do it again, Brother Weslowski. He goes, praise the Lord. Okay, now wait a minute. That's not bad. And you say, well, I'll tell you what, you know, that's not Baptist. No, it's Bible, and Bible is Baptist. You know, we get so traditional in our thoughts that we allow tradition to take over the Bible. There's nothing wrong with you men saying amen. We're not supposed to be a dead Presbyterian church. We're supposed to be a live Baptist church. There's nothing wrong. You know, by the way, come on, you think about this. Can I help you practice church just a little bit? And all of a sudden, when a visitor comes to church, and the preacher's hitting something like salvation, He says, the only way that you can be saved is by receiving Christ as Savior. That's what you're supposed to do. All right? And a bunch of men say amen, like you're supposed to. That visitor out there says, whoa, wow. Ooh, they must all believe that. All right, but what if the preacher gets with it? What if the preacher says, hey, I'll tell you what the Bible says. You're supposed to, a woman's supposed to marry a man, and a man is supposed to marry a woman. A man's not supposed to marry a man, and a woman's not supposed to marry a woman. That's what the Bible says. You got two or three fellows out there says, amen. Somebody says, well, that's the only guy that believes it. Come on. That preacher gets up and he's preaching about soul winning. He's preaching about running buses. He's preaching about tithing. He's preaching about giving offerings. He's preaching about straightening up your children, making sure they walk right, talk right, be right. You ought to sit there. Don't sit there like a bump on a log. Well, that was a good sermon, I guess. No, no. You be excited about the things of God. Okay, here we go. You ready? Lastly, why should we bless the heart of God? Look at the last verse, Psalm 134 and verse 3. The Bible says, the Lord hath made heaven and earth. Bless ye out of Zion. Now, why? Because he made it all. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof in the book of Revelation. He made it all. You know, everything that you touch, everything that you breathe is here because of God. It's not because of a big bang. It's because of God. The Creator God made all. Now, can I tell you, you ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank God for that. When you walk outside tonight, there'll be a crisp, probably cool breeze blowing. And can I tell you, when you walk outside and that hits you in the face, you ought to look to the skyly heaven and say, thank you, Lord. This is good. When you get in your car and you turn it on and it actually runs, you can say, thank you, Lord, this is good. When you turn on your heater on the way home and maybe you have heated seats, and you press that button, and as your body is heating up, you can say, thank you, Lord, this is good. When you pull up in your driveway or pull down your lane, you're heading to your house, apartment, trailer, heading to a condo, heading to wherever you live tonight, you're pulling in that driveway tonight, you ought to sit there in that driveway for just a little bit and say, thank you, Lord. This is good. When all of a sudden your wife appears in the living room, you all say, thank you, Lord. This is good. All of a sudden, your kids come prancing through the living room. You all say, thank you, Lord. That is good. That is good. That I'm not sure of. That is good. But you ought to thank the Lord for his goodness. When you're able to get out of bed, I tell you, both my parents, I'm heading down to what they call Cooper Clinic on Tuesday to be completely evaluated. They're going to see if I have a brain that works. And so, somebody gave me a gift to be able to go down there and be completely looked at from head to toe. And I don't know about all that. But anyway, what a blessing it is, for real. And now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Can I say, I thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. You know, you ought to thank the Lord. My parents, they died of cancer, and sometimes I'll wake up in the morning, and I love doing this. I'll take a deep breath, and there's no blockage, and it's crisp, and it's good. And I'll lay there sometimes after I take that deep breath, and before I get out of bed, I will always say, thank you, Lord. I will always say, thank you, Lord. You know why? Because God is very, very, very good. You know, I'm 54, and as far as I know, I don't have any ailments, at least I don't think so, and I can get around pretty good. Now, can I tell you, I thank the Lord for his goodness. I think sometimes you ought to stop during Christmas time. You listen to me? Stopped on Christmas time. Stopped on the Thanksgiving time. And just be thankful. And by the way, when you're thankful for somebody else, just don't think it. Tell them. Tell them. I was talking to a dear brother just the other week, and he said, you know, Brother Wells, he said, do you write handwritten notes? Do you still do that? And I said, well, yeah, I do. Not all the time, but I do. And it's better for me to dictate because I'm sure that the person can read it once they get it. But from time to time, I'll write a handwritten note. He said, you know, that's a thing of the past, handwritten notes. And here's what this individual said. This gentleman said, I would rather receive a handwritten note than a note that was typewritten, because you know that extra effort had to go into making sure that they could read what you wrote. Now, can I tell you, listen, I'm saying this. I'm saying you can invest that or something in someone else. You could do that. You could write just on a 3x5 card to someone, I appreciate you and thank you for your life. Sign it. You could do that. You could buy somebody a piece of candy. Say, I just thought about you today and thank God for you. You could do that. You could text somebody. And something just real short. Thought about you today, praying for you. You could do that. You say, well, nobody's doing that to me, preacher. But maybe if you start it in someone else, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Maybe it will come back to you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.